Hey guys.
Hey guys.
Amber and Kendall here for another episode. Living life legit.
Legit. Welcome back. How are you, Amber?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Just fine. You know, where I work, the owner says that all the time. And it took me a really, really long time to realize that that's just how he answers and that he's not, like, upset. Because, you know, we all have different things. Like, when we say, I'm fine, it really means you're not okay. We either say, like, I'm good, I'm great, thanks.
I don't know. I feel like you're reading a lot into that.
You always say, I'm fine, when someone asks you how you are?
I think I say good. But that's usually, like, people at work. Like, how are you? I'm good.
Exactly.
With the side. With the head to the side. I'm good.
Okay, so maybe I am reading into it.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
People at work. I mean, are you really the same person at work that you are all the time?
I'd like to think so.
Oh, okay. Me too.
You're not.
No.
I've also been at my place for a really long time.
Funny because they celebrate birthdays a lot at my work, and we were sitting there having cake, and I said something about my daughter. They go, you have a daughter. And I've worked there for 10 months. I've been there 10 months now. They were like, you have a daughter? And I said, yeah. They were like, we knew you had dogs. I'm like, don't tell my daughter that.
That's terrible.
So she already thinks my dogs are my favorite children. So mm-hmm. Don't tell her that.
I read somewhere that, and I kind of have thought about that, if I ever were to get a new job, that I would pretend that I had a child. Just because I've seen, like, oh, you know, I need to leave a little early today because Johnny has a recital at school. It's third grade play. Like, you know, just to be able to get out of things and people think it's...
Well, my excuse was when she's like, I didn't even know you had a child. And I said, well, but then she said, you know, I know you have dogs. I said, well, my dogs are cute. And they were like...
Wow.
They said, your daughter's not? I said, she's 19 now. She's not as cute as she used to be.
Wow.
No offense, Rai. I tell her that all the time. I'm like, you're just not as cute as you used to be. She's an adorable child.
She still is adorable.
Okay.
She is.
She's not as cute as when she was 3.
Well, no.
That's what I mean. She was an adorable child. Hilarious, adorable. Now she's all grown up and sassy. Argues all the time.
But she will tell you that she doesn't argue.
She'll tell you. She'll argue with you that she doesn't argue.
Proving her point. Well, our point.
Kids.
So, in this episode...
Well, first, Kendall, what did we talk about in the last episode? Romans 3. We talked about Romans 3.
We did talk about Romans 3, and we talked about God... And how he remains faithful.
He does.
All the time.
How we should be faithful. God keeps his promises.
God does keep his promises. And he remains faithful all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Because in this chapter, we're going to talk about how God keeps his promises and how he stays faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Because Paul decides to bring up a little known character that we all know and love, Abraham.
Do you know the song?
Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had
Father Abraham.
I am one of them.
And so are you.
So let's
just praise the Lord.
Oh. Maybe I don't know it. Let's just sing along.
I'm pretty sure it's praise the Lord.
But sure. That's... Sounds better. Sounds better. I make up my own songs all the time.
I know you do.
I'll just throw in whatever words I need.
I love it. But I think us doing a deep dive into Abraham and Sarah would be a good one.
Do you?
I do. Why are you looking at me like that?
He is the father of all of the nations.
He is.
Of the Lord.
He sure is. And the story of Abraham is a really great one because it shows his faith in God and how God always kept his promises. And really about God's perfect timing because, like we said in the last episode, it's all about, what is it called?
Instant gratification.
Instant gratification. And that is not how God works.
Because you know how I last time brought up the Jews? The Moses Jews. I just... And Kendall knows I have a soft spot in my heart for my circumcised heart. For Moses.
Oh, God bless anybody who starts with this episode.
Yeah. You guys just... You know how I feel about Moses. I sympathize with the guy because can you imagine leading 2 million crybaby Jews out of Egypt?
Wow.
After you just witnessed the 10 plagues. Yeah. All your firstborn sons are here. You didn't get boils. You were saved from fire and brimstone. No frogs, no flies. I'm just saying, it literally passed over. pass over. It passed over you.
And you walked through the Red Sea. You
walked through the Red Sea. I mean, the Red Sea parted. You walked through it and then watched all the Egyptians behind you drown. And you're still going to say, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're going to die out. And gee, God is giving you food every day. He gave you specific rules on, like, pick your manna enough for the day.
I know. It's just you get out of your tent the next day and there it is. Just right there for you.
I think that's what it is. He's like, don't pick any more. Don't pick any less. Just enough for the day. Because he's testing their faith.
He is.
And he constantly, and they constantly are like, I don't get it. And so I sympathize with Moses.
Well, right now we're not talking about Moses. We're talking about Abraham.
I'm just going to make a shirt. I'm having a Moses kind of day. Never having that bad day.
That's actually a pretty good one.
I'm having a Moses day.
That is funny.
But we're going to talk about Abraham.
We are going to talk about Abraham.
Who else talks about Abraham? Paul.
He does.
Because in case you guys don't remember, Romans was written by Paul, the apostle.
It was. Who writes epistles?
Paul the Apostle writes epistles. And epistles, if you don't remember, are letters to the church.
Yes. And so I really do feel like he talks about Abraham in this chapter, because Abraham really is the best example I think we could get of what it's like to truly have faith in God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in Romans 4, verses 1 through 4, Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scriptures tells us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith.
So think of all the good works that Abraham did, and God said, nah. He still judged him by his faith and his faith alone. Right. Not all, he did, again, didn't mark off his list, okay? He donated to charity on this day, and none of that was important.
Nope.
I mean, don't get us wrong. God does look at your works, I mean, and how you behave. But we've said, through faith comes your good works. And that's, I mean, and God says that Abraham was righteous because of his faith.
Mm-hmm.
And because he believed. And, like, he goes on in this chapter, he talks about wages. Like, we all have to earn wages.
Right.
We have to earn a living because we can't survive without making a living. I mean, that. And with the cost of things now.
Barely.
Barely are we making a living. But he says that's not going to judge it. Like, you know, people are like, oh, well, I work hard and I, you know, and I'm just a simple person and I don't do any wrong. Doesn't matter. You have to work because you have to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
But your faith is what's going to be judged. And they talk, and here we go again, talking about circumcision.
I know.
People are like, oh, well, you know, he followed the law of circumcision. He didn't get circumcised. Abraham wasn't circumcised until after his faith.
Mm-hmm.
So again, how Kendall and I have said, your good works and following the law comes after your faith. It's just a natural progression.
Well, and it, you know, circumcision is important because it was a symbol of man's devotion to God and a sign of their covenant relationship with God. But it shows that our faith in God trumps everything, mm-hmm. even circumcision, that even before Abraham was circumcised, God still considered him righteous because of his faith.
Mm-hmm. Because if you do good works without faith, it's worthless,
mm-hmm.
according to what Paul says.
That's right.
So now, well, Kendall, let's get into what Paul talks about. Like, let's talk a little about Abraham, because that's pretty much what chapter 4 is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much talking about Abraham, because he is the father of all Jewish faith and the Jewish people. Here we are. So all those slaves that Moses freed, you have Father Abraham to thank. And that's why he's bringing up Abraham in this chapter, because, again, he's writing to the people in Rome, which is why this is called Romans. So his epistle here is he's writing to the Jews, he's writing to the Gentiles that are currently in Rome. So he's bringing up Abraham because he's an essential person in Jewish history.
Mm-hmm.
So Kendall, Abraham being your favorite.
I didn't say he was my favorite.
Oh, who is your favorite?
I don't know, actually. Other than Jesus, I'd have to really think about who my favorite person in the Bible would be.
Jonah?
No.
Because he's had experience with a whale?
No. But
I do think it was a killer whale?
No, I don't think it was a killer whale.
No. What kind of whale do you think it was?
I would probably have to say like closer to a blue whale if I had to put a type of whale on it. But in all honesty, how many different variations of whales do I know? Maybe 3.
Do you speak whale?
I do. In my private time.
Well, then who are you talking to?
Charming.
Jeez.
So.
So, good thing to note first about Abraham is that he believed whatever God told him.
He sure did.
And you can call it faith. So, he believed everything that God told him. So, Kendall,
tell us
a little bit about Abraham and what Paul says about him.
Where are you reading?
I don't know. I'm just reading off of my sheet right here. I'm not anywhere. I'm just reading. I just have been filled with Abraham. Are you having Abraham kind of a day? You want me to sing the song again?
No.
Father Abraham. So let's just sing along.
So in Romans 4:14-16 says, if God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. So with Abraham, you know, he wanted to be a dad. He wanted to be a father. And he was told by God that he would be the father of many nations. Well, how can you be the father of many nations if you yourself don't have any children? Mm-hmm. So his wife was unable to have children.
Sarah. That was a song from the 80s.
Beautiful.
By Toto, I believe.
A quarter to anybody who can confirm that. So he was 75 years old when God made that promise to Abraham.
So it's important to note.
Yes.
That again, with our human need for instant gratification,
yep.
God made this promise to Abraham and said, you will have a son and you will be the father of many nations at the age of 75. So his wife, Sarah, they're trucking along and she's getting a little impatient. And, you know, we talked about God's timing of, I think that's in a sense, God's timing, God, I mean, 20 years to us is maybe a minute to God. Right. Time doesn't work the same for him.
Because he's outside of time.
Yeah, he's outside of time. He's the controller of time. So for Sarah, this wasn't moving along quickly enough. So she brings in her servant, Hagar.
Hagar.
And she's pretty much, it's a very Adam and Eve situation, okay? Because Sarah brings in Hagar. Abraham, at any moment, where this is, in my opinion, a faltering of his faith, he could have said, because this is 11 years later, he's 86, and Abraham and Hagar do have a son together, Ishmael, and he was 86 at the time that Ishmael was born. So for those of you keeping count, God made this promise, and it's been 11 years, and Sarah and Abraham had still not had a child. So there, in at any moment in time, Abraham could have said, no, we need to trust what God said. So that to me was a falter in his faith. And we all have that. I'm not by any means trying to say anything against Abraham. We all have that. That shows our human nature. And here's a situation where we're showing God's grace, his forgiveness, the magnitude of his mercy.
Yep.
Because even after all that, he could have said, you guys didn't listen. You didn't have faith that I was going to provide what I said I was going to provide. And now, too bad, you're not going to have a son. But he does, 14 years later, another 14 years later, when he's 100 years old, Sarah's in her 90s, she gives birth to Isaac.
Which it does.
So he still kept his promise. God still kept his promise, even after the faltering of faith that Abraham and Sarah both had.
Because that's what God does.
That's what he does.
Even with as many times as we sin and break promises to God, he still continues to keep our covenant through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even funny, too, to think that another test of faith and obedience that Abraham had was when God told him to sacrifice Isaac. His story, I think, would be a fun one to discuss. His story's
an interesting one, because here Isaac grows up, and now God, I mean, think about Abraham at that time being like, oh, everything I went through to get this son, and now you're telling me. And I think almost in a sense, if you look at that as his repentance for his lack of faith in having Isaac.
Yeah.
He's like, now I gave you the son, now I need you to sacrifice him. Yeah. And he was gonna, until God stopped him.
I watched a video where they were like, could you imagine that walk back down the mountain?
Yeah, like, what was that about?
And when you get home. And Sarah's like, so guys, how was your day? What did you do? And I was just like, Dad tried to kill me.
Dad tried to sacrifice me. It turned out okay, though, God stopped him. But I wonder, too, if that walk back where he explained to Isaac, like, hey, man,
I know.
Like, when God tells you something, you gotta...
I feel like that would be very much so a teaching moment of faith and obedience in God.
I mean, had Mom done that to me, I might have wet myself. But been like, yeah, no, I get it, Mom, I get it. I'd probably sleep with one eye open.
I mean...
A little bit. You never know. But that just goes to show how he's talking, how Paul is talking in Romans mm-hmm. about Abraham and why... I mean, we're condemned as sinners. I mean,
right.
We all know that. But still, his mercy and his grace... God never falters. We constantly falter. God will never falter. And I'm reminded of that every time I see the rainbow.
That's right. God's never going to flood the earth again.
What was it? A couple weeks ago, it was raining, and I was like, I'm going to have to get the dogs, and we're going to have to, like...
Get a kayak
and start, you know, or start learning how to tread water. I don't even know. I don't think French bulldogs know how to swim.
Probably not.
I don't think they do. So...
No.
But I constantly try. I mean, it's a daily thing to remind myself about how God is the only true promise keeper.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Well, and then, I mean, to finish out Romans chapter 4, verses 22 through 25, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit, too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. The one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God.
I mean, if you have faith that God sent his son to earth in human form to be sacrificed, he again rose from the dead, do you have that faith?
Right.
I mean, and it's not, I know, especially in this time that we're living in, it's not always easy because God is very, I mean, I wouldn't say hands off, but have you ever made the observation that in the Old Testament, he seems very prevalent. Like, God is, like, almost physically present. I mean, like, how we followed the Jews through the desert and everything with Moses and then Abraham and the burning bush. And so you see, like, the physical presence mm-hmm. of God. But then after New Testament, after Jesus sacrificed, he's very, not so much physicality. So I wonder if that in itself, after Jesus, he's like, I've done what I said I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to have faith. I wonder if it's a faith issue of like our faith is constantly being tested because we can't. I see certain things about mm-hmm. humanity and I know, that's what it truly is. We truly have to have faith because constantly, you know, people of science are like, well, prove it. Well, faith can't be proven. That's the whole point is you have faith in something. I mean, it's not tangible.
Well, when you think about back in those times in the Old Testament with God being so prevalent with being followed by a cloud and followed by fire at night. Those were very physical forms for people to actually see, and they still had issues of faith.
Yeah.
So
that's what I mean by, like, after Jesus.
Yeah, that's why.
In the sacrificial lamb, he's like, I have given you my son, and I brought him back to dead. Now, not necessarily, like, now you're on your own, but I've given you that way. Because before that, I mean, there was a physicality to witnessing certain things that God did because we didn't have Jesus yet.
We didn't have Jesus, but back then too, they also didn't have the promise of heaven. So I think I know you're all upset about Moses still.
So getting started.
But when you think about them being able to have that physicality of God back then, we don't have that now. But what we do have is with our faith in Christ is the promise of being with him
mm-hmm.
afterwards. So, and I would much rather live without the physical presence of God right now
mm-hmm.
to be with him for eternity.
Yeah.
Versus exactly. having that and having to, I mean, who knows? I don't even know if they knew. Did they know sitting in the chasm if they were going to ever get to be in the presence of God again? I don't know.
I don't know either, but I would like to think maybe yes. Because
that they were just waiting for Jesus to come, like they at some point.
I mean, that'd be an interesting topic for us to talk about. But I wonder if they did know. But part of me thinks they had to have known. Because they had such a strong faith in God.
Right.
That
they surely.
They were like, there's no way that he's going to leave it. And they weren't. Right. I mean, and keep in mind, they weren't in hell.
No.
But they could see it.
But that's where, like, when I think about that, like, they had those physical, the fire in the bush and the fires in the clouds following them and hearing thunder mm-hmm. of God speaking. And I just... They struggled with faith then, which makes our faith even harder now because we mm-hmm. don't have that. But our reward, getting to be with God at the end of the day, is much greater.
Too, we've had as opposed to our Old Testament friends, Moses and Abraham. And we've never known a life without Jesus. They knew a life before Jesus. We have never had to live a life without the gift that was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, well, yes, we didn't have the physicality of, you know, seeing with our own eyes certain aspects of God. We've always been blessed with Jesus. So, I mean, I'm with Kendall. I'd much rather have that knowing where I'm going later than having to worry about plagues. And I mean, we still have to worry about stuff like that, but seeing those kind of plagues, like, can you imagine being an Egyptian during the whole Moses freeing the slaves thing of boils?
Mm-mm. But how miraculous is that? Like, how crazy would that be to be an Egyptian in those times and see and to be fearful of God and be like, oh my gosh, like, how could you not want to turn to him then?
And was it you who told me that when you look at the plagues, they went after Egyptian gods?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I said I wanted us to do a series on that.
Oh, so stay tuned, guys.
Yeah.
That's really it.
But it just in that kind of, with that too, it shows how deliberate God is with everything.
Yeah. He's like, you want to worship a guy with the head of a frog? Okay.
Here you go.
Here it is.
Here's a billion frogs coming at you.
Ugh, can you imagine?
No.
Think of mom. I wonder if that was mom's most feared plague, was frogs.
Well, we can ask her.
Did you ever see that movie, which I don't like, but it's called Exodus?
No.
It has like, I think it's Christian Bale plays Moses. I don't recommend it because it does not follow biblically, but...
Russell Crowe, I think.
No. It's Christian Bale.
Is it?
Ugh. Don't you test me on my knowledge of Hollywood actors. It's Christian Bale. Because you know I don't like Christian Bale.
I know you don't.
I do not recommend the movie because I don't like how they portrayed Moses. And I also don't like that it doesn't really follow biblically, the movie. But I will say one thing about it is they did the plagues, I thought, really well.
Hmm.
So if you ever do watch it, just keep in mind that it's not... Please don't take it as the word of God because it does not follow biblically. And I really don't like the way that they portrayed Moses as arguing with God all the time, which he didn't. So that's what bothers me. But if you do ever watch it, keep that in mind, but watch how they do the plagues, because I like to imagine that's how it really went.
I'm sure.
I'll have to watch it. It's very good. Like the frogs, the boils, the flies, all of it. They did very good. Brimstone. The whole works. That's all we got for Romans 4.
That is. Romans 4 was a quick one.
It was a quick one.
So we'll have to do a later deep dive into Abraham.
Abraham. Sometime. Father Abraham. Is there more to the song?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Well, why don't you know it all? We learned it in Awanas. Well, clearly you learned it in Awanas. I maybe just filled in what I didn't know.
I feel like there was a... We used to have a boombox when I was a kid. Okay. And I used to have...
Kendall's so old, you guys.
I used to have a tape with the Christian songs, and one of them was the Father Abraham song, and I think another one was about Noah's Ark, and I used to play that.
Who built the ark?
Noah. Yeah.
Who built the ark? Brother Noah built the ark.
Yes, it was that, and I used to listen to that and take a bath.
Kendall and I really, if you guys don't know, we went to a Baptist church. So there it is. We like to worship quite a bit.
Oh, man. We sure do, but these songs are great.
Now I have a more eclectic taste in my gospel music.
Yes. Mine is much more not these songs.
Not children's songs?
No. Nope.
But think of how prominent the songs are. I mean, good gracious, I'm 40 and still remember those songs.
Not so, praise the Lord. Right arm.
What?
It says Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons said, Father Abraham, I'm one of them, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm. Right arm, left arm, right foot.
What are we doing with our feet?
Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot. Right arm, and then all the way at the end it goes right arm, left foot, chin up, turn around, sit down. It was a whole, kind of like the Macarena.
Kids in the 90s.
I know. I'm cutting that out.
So
hope you guys have a great week. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, wait. By the way, Jesus loves the sinner.
Oh, yes. Yes. Jesus loves the sinner.
Bye.